The Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jewish leaders who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus began to weep. So the Jewish leaders said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, already there is a stench because he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. And Jesus looked upward and said, "Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Invite you to be seated. First of all, a personal word. It kind of feels like Easter or Christmas or something. I love it. Honestly, I can't quite take in that this will be my last sermon and my last Sunday leading worship here as your pastor. I don't quite grasp yet that after today we may see each other on Facebook, and after some time I may come back for congregational celebrations, etc. But it will be different. I'll be the former pastor, and there'll be another fortunate person who will care for you and tend you as pastor. There have been a few moments when I did get a real sense of this. Primarily a few weeks ago, right before the early service, Diane Gadomski gave me a hug and said that she wouldn't be able to be here for the next couple of Sundays, and with tears in her eyes, shared a few meaningful words. And at that moment, goodbye felt very real, especially because I then walked into the sanctuary at the back, stood and looked around while the prelude was playing. And I looked at parishioners to whom I would also say goodbye to soon. It hit me then like a ton of bricks that I might interact with you in the future, but not as your pastor. And it struck me in that moment how much I loved being your pastor. And then Dave Harp ended the prelude. It's very bad timing. Worship began, and I somehow was able to get myself together to lead it. That's my confession to you this morning. I can't quite take in yet that saying goodbye is now, today. So, I said that I was at adult form a few weeks ago. I said, I'm worried about two things. I'm worried about crying and not being able to carry on with the service, and I'm worried about not crying. So if I don't cry, it's not because you don't mean the world to me. It's that I kind of hold my feelings very deep. So here it goes. All Saints Sunday. What a fitting Sunday to choose as the conclusion of a profound call for me. I wasn't clever enough to realize this when I picked the date. I'm just lucky. It sets this moment today in the framework of 2,000 years of saints. otherwise known as forgiven sinners, saints. It's a time to recall not only those who are dear to us, whose deaths we grieve, but also to recall the witness of all the saints at St. Matthew across 68 years, including seven pastors. All of the saints, the forgiven sinners, across the 68 years, in countless ways, including everybody here, large and small, have borne witness to Jesus Christ in the burbs of Philadelphia. And it's a difficult time to be church on the East Coast, I think. Our society is polarized to a degree that I've never experienced, and there seems to be ideological landmines all over the place, especially for public speaking pastors and other public speakers. Most mainline and even evangelical congregations face continually declining worship attendance for a variety of complex reasons, and there are fewer congregations that can offer full-time calls to pastors and fewer pastoral candidates. Gee, thanks for the cheery message on your way out, Pastor Ingrid. It might not be cheery, but it's reality, and one that I know that a number of you sense. It's also a reality that's a burden borne on the backs of councils and pastors, including interim pastors, and anybody who loves a congregation, especially faithful and talented councils like the one St. Matthew just elected. Mary, in the gospel reading, gives voice to any anxiety we might have with the words, "if only." Most of us can identify with those words, not only in congregational life, but also in terms of our personal lives. I think that "if only" is one of the most poignant phrases in all of the New Testament. If only I would have spent more time on this or less time on that, says the outgoing pastor. Or if only I would have made him get that symptom checked out sooner. And at the heart of our if onlys is Mary's if only. God, if you were only here, or you cared enough. God, if you would only do something. See, Mary voices our experience as individuals and even as the visible and institutional church. After all, we are sinners and saints, even on All Saints Day, with doubts and fears and unbelief, including not being able to trust Jesus, the real pastor here and at every congregation, including Zion Long Valley, who promises to lead us into an unknown future. The good news today is that God hears our prayers, our if onlys, and it moves him to the very depths of compassion, even to weeping. The one who weeps in the reading is not only Jesus, but the creator of the universe in some mysterious way. God, God's inmost self, weeps with us, deeply moved by our fears and anxieties and our pain and grief. But that's not all. There's even better news from Jesus being with us in our than Jesus being with us in our pain and suffering. Jesus also says, "Take away the stone." Martha, who kind of tells it like it is, there are a few of you out there who do that, knows that after 4 days, death begins to stink. But Jesus, as he just told her before this, is the resurrection and the life. So he calls, "Lazarus, come out," which gives us a glimpse of who he is. This man who is about to call his execution on an instrument of death, his moment of glory. And in doing so, God turns death inside out, bringing new life out of decaying death. Take away the stone. Those words are the first blast of the final trumpet. That is, on the last day, that great getting up morning, Jesus will say to all the dead, just as he said to Lazarus, "Come out." Take away the stone, Jesus says to all who have been buried out of this congregation and in that garden of remembrance for 7 decades. Jesus says to you, to your loved ones who have died, to all who grieve, take away the stone. Every Sunday for 68 years, the first blast of the final trumpet has sounded here. That's what All Saints' Day is about, celebrating the final resurrection ahead of time, celebrating right now the future removal of doubts and fears and self-centeredness and all of our if-onlys. All Saints' Day is about the unbinding of all the saints, including you and me. It's about hearing in the word and tasting in the bread and wine that one day God will raise us all, that God has the power to turn decline and decay and death inside out into unexpected life. Just as God raised the saints in Moorestown to faith for daily living over the course of the almost 70 years. Raised saints here, not only to face the changes and chances of life, but in order that the saints could risk the self in the world for the sake of the neighbor and for the gospel. Each Sunday, the first blast of the final trumpet will sound wherever the crucified and risen Christ is proclaimed, and God will continue to raise the saints in faith for the sake of the world for the next 70 years and the next 70 years. God's church always has a future. It may or may not be what we expect. I mean, back in 1950, the founders of this congregation, and there are a few of the children of the charter members of this congregation here today, could never imagine what St. Matthew would be in the year 2018. And we can't imagine for the future either. But God's church always has a life-giving future. Christ, your good shepherd, has staked his life on it. Amen.